like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Hello. The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 7:40 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, brought to you cordially by the good folks at Champ's Chicken and harbored by America's favorite source for Auburn news, collegeandmagnolia.com. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, and then at Son of Crow on Venmo, but you already know that. To one side of me is amateur statistician, engineer, trivia question comer upper with her, Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter.
Chris Sola just scored on me.
Oh, to the other side of you, chewing into the microphone, giving you that full Fort Payne ASMR, is at AU Chief. Yeah, just make all the noises. Into the mic. Greetings, Georgia Tigers. This weekend in Auburn football, we hired our new running backs coach. Before that, let's go to our trivia question with Ryan, the Auburn Orange and Truther trivia question of the week.
All right, guys. First question was too hard. Second question was too easy. See if we can get this one just right. Auburn's highest rated recruit from the state of Alabama ranks as just the sixth best recruit all time for the Tigers. Who is it?
So Auburn's highest all-time recruit in Alabama.
From all-time state of Alabama.
Is the all-time sixth.
It's just the sixth best.
Okay.
For Auburn.
I think I know the answer to this. Chief thinks he knows the answer to this. Josh Dubba is sitting in his car somewhere screaming the answer to this.
James Jones probably doing the same.
James Jones probably knows the answer to this.
Does Lydia know the answer to this?
Does Lydia know the answer to
we
this?
We just ran through our...
That's all of our followers.
She's still listening because we haven't talked about wrestling yet.
Yeah. Don't forget about Nate.
Oh, yeah, Nate. I bet Nate knows the answer to this. And the German professor knows the answer to this. Mm-hmm. Let's think. I think it is Auburn new running back coach, Carnell Cadillac-Williams.
That's who I think it is as well.
Yeah, too easy.
Boom! Boom! Doing the Gus Malzahn boom right now. Because he was, correct me if I'm wrong, Carnell Cadillac-Williams was a bit of a high school legend in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
So Auburn getting him was kind of a huge deal in general.
He was actually not the highest rated running back we've ever gotten.
Was Ronnie higher?
No. Michael Dyer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Michael Dyer. Dyer was the number one or number two guy in the country, depending on where you looked, right?
At the time, he was the highest rated recruit Auburn's ever signed, and then it was Byron Cowan.
Yeah,
Byron
Cowan. It was him, Lake C. Strunk, and what's his name? From
Marcus Lattimore.
Marcus Lattimore, yeah. And
almost had all three.
Think about that. Those three and two of them ended up finishing out at least one college removed from where they started.
Another one ended up with just a nasty knee injury.
Zero of them are starting in the NFL.
Right.
Actually, I don't think any of them ever did take a start in the NFL. I don't think Marcus ever started a game for the 49ers or whatever.
I can't remember if he did or not.
Lake Seastrunk apparently got to Dallas and did. The Cowboys were like, this guy cannot learn plays.
Yeah.
He didn't make it out of training camp.
Hmm.
I don't think Dyer is in. I think he might be in the league, but I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so.
You guys talk about our new running backs coach, and I'll tell you.
I think our new running back coach hire is a great idea. I think hiring high-level guys who have coached in high school football at the best high school football program in America are one of the
air
best.
Quotes, high school.
It's an academy. I think it's a good idea.
Don't forget he was the NFL Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, it's true. Was. Carnell Cadillac-Williams.
Mike Dyer is currently playing for the Texas Revolution.
Okay. I don't know what league
Champions
that is.
Indoor football.
Okay.
Oh, him and Jeremy Johnson might come up against each other.
Champions of indoor football. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to Carnell. Carnell was a high school legend. He was. He very much so. He was.
He's the kind of guy we probably don't get in 2018.
Not right now. I mean, we did get Kerryon, who was the best running back in the state that year, right?
Yep.
And
if they're Mr. Football, Auburn gets them.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Depends on what we do with them afterwards.
Right.
Not that Kerryon's a great example of that in a negative way. He was great for us. So.
Right.
Carnell was in North Alabama, where he's from.
Atala, right?
Yeah, Atala, if that's what you want to say. It's Etowah County.
Okay.
Rainbow City, yeah, Atala. It's
the 59 corridor.
It's a little school that used to recruit people from the surrounding area. There's a lot of, I'm not going to bore everybody with my in-depth.
The Northern Alabama high school football.
Politics. Especially Gadsden, because Gadsden was crazy, because that's really the touchdown of where Etowah is. It's right outside Gadsden. Gadsden used to have a bunch of different schools, and then they all combined at one point. But Etowah's not one that combined. Anyway, it's out in the county.
Yeah.
It's Etowah County High School. It is in Atala, as Ryan said. Anyway, up that way, the name Carnell was said in hushed tones. He was very revered, and the stadiums that Etowah played in, especially his senior year, but somewhat his junior year as well, were always full. Everybody wanted to see him play their team. I was lucky enough to see him play a couple times, and buddy, he's probably still to this day the best. Best high school player I ever saw play live. I mean, he just ran through people.
Offense and defense, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is not what he did at Auburn, to be honest with you. The running through people. His vision is what got him got him places at Auburn. Like he could see a hole.
Yeah.
He knew where their guys weren't going to be, and it was awesome. But he was also the best high school safety I ever saw. Sorry for the...
No, right there in the mic.
It's part of the ASMR.
Lost my train of thought. He was very good, and I thought, man, he could have played safety for Auburn, and then I'm probably gone to the NFL and been all pro safety. Like, he was that good.
I think, and I think hiring a guy who has that experience of being a... Like, he knows what it's like to be recruited hard.
Yes.
He knows what it's like to be... courted by every...
He was wined and dined.
By everybody. I'm sure he went out to the coast. I'm sure SC wanted him. I'm sure Florida wanted him. He probably went everywhere.
Well, he was a long-time Bama lean.
Right.
Long time. And I want to say he was a Bama commit. And then decommitted from Bama and committed to Tennessee. And then decommitted from them right before signing day.
I think he and Ronnie Brown both decommitted from Tennessee.
Okay.
I want to say that's right, that we took both of them from Tennessee.
This would have been
the beginning of for the Vols.
Well, I was so aware. I don't remember Ronnie on recruitment just because I wasn't really in high school. I wasn't really following recruiting, but I was following Carnell because he was somewhat local guy, about 30 minutes from where I grew up.
So what do we think about him as a coach? Because he hasn't. Not much experience. I mean, he said he was at IMG.
He was at IMG Academy, and that's a big deal.
That is a big deal in the high school ranks.
That's as much of a college experience as you're going to get in high school.
Yeah, and hadn't he just gotten hired at a college?
No, he was actually going to be the running backs coach for the Birmingham Iron.
Oh, that's right.
Association of American Football.
Yeah, all right.
And they're supposed to start in 2 weeks.
Oh.
So didn't somebody else got, like... I think two different AAFL coaches have gotten snipes.
Several. Hugh Freeze was supposed to be a coach for them.
Is it Mike Shula, the head coach of the Birmingham team? Am I crazy?
I don't think that's true. Spurrier's the coach of the Orlando team.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a handful of guys, players.
Is Michael Vick? Is Michael Vick's an offensive coordinator
for Atlanta? Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Him being an offensive coordinator or even a quarterbacks coach would be funny to me because it's like, nothing he did.
No, it doesn't translate.
Explained.
So that's what I do wonder about Carnell. He was a natural. He's as natural a guy as I've ever seen. And I don't know how you can teach guys to see, to have a field vision like he had. I don't think you can teach anybody to do that. The other thing I thought of was like, man, he was widely known as a very quiet guy. A guy that just didn't talk much. And I know that was 15, 16, 17 years ago now. So a lot can change in that time. He's played in the NFL now, and he's gone, obviously, coached other places now. So
clearly, this is his first D1 job.
Right.
Even this is a grad assistant.
Right, right. He didn't. He did not take a your typical route to college coaching.
Yeah. But that's kind of what Gus, to me, I feel like what Gus Malzahn brings to Auburn is this. Like, he doesn't care about the typical route because he didn't take a typical route.
Right.
So, like, I think he's going to be, for better or worse, Gus is not going to do what everybody else is doing. He's not going to go, all right, who was the GA? Okay, we're going to hire him to be, you know, the position coach. Who's position coach? We're going to hire him to be an offensive coordinator. He's not going to do that. Gus is going to go, who's the most talented guy? Let's get him, regardless of his experience level, which I think has hurt him at times. And but it also, like, I feel like personally that Cody Burns has panned out. But then again, like, how much can we, because so much running back is natural ability. Mm-hmm. You either have it or you don't. How much of what is going to happen on the field next year can we go, Carnell's a good coach, Carnell's a bad coach? That's what I don't know. I don't know enough about football, and I've watched a lot of games to be able to tell you,
That's a poorly coached running back.
It does seem like running back is the position where you just kind of have the talent or you don't.
Yeah, and like wide receiver, in some ways, like, you can teach him to run routes, but you can't teach him to catch.
Right, but there's,
you can teach him to run routes, but you can't really teach him to run after the catch.
You know, there's technique you can teach to guys, and there's, I mean, to a degree, I guess you can teach vision somewhat. You can teach a guy where to look and what to look for.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can teach what Carnell had. And I do wonder if maybe Tim Horton moving to an off-the-field position might just continue to help coaching quarterbacks. And Carnell's really there to learn to be, you know, a Division I coach and to be a recruiter.
One kind of theory that I had heard was that Tim Horton was taking over Patrick Sudis's. Is that how you pronounce his name?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, essentially, the vision of Auburn athletics, for Auburn football at least, for the recruiting landscape and things like that. You know, he went to Georgia Tech this offseason. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
So maybe that's Gus is wanting him to take on that role.
Could be.
I don't know that for a fact, but.
Well, there is a notable hole in our running back recruiting from the last 4 years, basically.
Right.
On the surface, it's like, well, we just had Kerryon. Like, recruiting's not that bad. But then our starting running backs this year were a transfer that did not have a good year, and a 3-star from up the road that.
Like, well, you know who should have been a senior this year?
Kerryon.
And.
Javon Robinson?
Rock Thomas.
Rock Thomas was a 5-star recruit.
Right.
Yeah.
And also Cam Petway.
Yeah.
Would have been a senior this year.
Those five guys.
You would have had Cam Petway, Rock Thomas, and
there's no other team in this league that is at a level that we want to be at that would be like, oh, well, we'll just wait till these guys graduate.
Right.
And then we'll recruit some more. Or they are all bringing in the top running backs every year.
Well, and also, like, I think, and this is, I'm going to go.
We're getting some Georgia envy at running back, I'll be honest.
I think, to some extent,
really,
there's a little bit of the Asa Martin disaster has been maybe.
There's
a lot of people who think that Tim Horton might have had something to do with that, and that could have been like, hey, man,
possible.
You don't even know who's playing.
Yeah.
You're going to have you sit over here now. Which, it's not really fair to Tim Horton. It's not really fair to anybody, but really, Gus is kind of the only one who can say that that's his deal.
Right.
But that's a huge mistake, huge misunderstanding. Right. And also, like...
Big mistake. Poorly handled.
Poorly handled. But also, like, he was a 4-star recruit. Like,
yeah.
Asa Martin was a big recruit.
And we just lost him.
Yeah.
Too, so... over that. Over the fact that... Just the handling of the situation is really what it seemed to have come down to. That,
but there is that hole. So, like, last year we signed Asa Martin, who was a top recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Shivers was a fairly high-rated recruit. But then it's that the guys who are supposed to be sophomores and juniors.
Right.
Like, where are those two years?
A gap in there.
I don't think Jartarvius Whitlow was recruited to start. It was kind of, oh, hey, maybe this guy, we hope we hit on this.
Right.
But I don't think it was like, all right, we got our guy. Let's shut down running back.
He was more like when we signed Jonathan Wallace at quarterback.
Right.
A guy.
We missed on a couple guys on signing day. Okay, we've got room for you now.
We got a local guy.
Speaking of, well, we'll get to Jonathan later in the episode.
We will?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Anyway.
Seems like a foreshadowing for Champs of the Week.
Man alive.
It was just a kind of last, maybe not last second, but like Ryan said, we missed on some guys. We'll bring this guy in. He's good.
Yeah.
And he's playing, he played at a high level this year.
I think Boo Whitlow's a really good player.
Yeah. So.
There are people who think that he's not an SEC back. And the people who are like, we don't have a guy who can play three downs.
Neither was Ontario McCaleb.
Yeah. And like, we haven't really had a three down back in a while. And Gus doesn't really want one. Like,
well,
we can't also complain that Gus plays guys too much,
right?
And complain that we want a three down running back.
Right, right.
You can't do both.
Right.
Exactly. I want everything all the time, exactly how I want. Look,
if those guys play as well as they did against Purdue this next season, we're gonna be.
We should play Purdue
every game. Week.
I think we should transfer to the Big Ten.
Oh, we would destroy.
Yeah,
just like
you kidding me.
We would be Ohio State.
You know that without Ohio State, the Big Ten has not won an outright national championship in 60 years.
I'd like to take this opportunity to give Michigan State a shout-out, though, for giving us the opportunity to play in the 2013 national championship game.
We always have a soft spot for Sparty.
Yeah.
So,
thank you. I have a friend who's an Ohio State fan, and every Friday on our group friend Slack, we have a Big Ten versus the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And he always brings up, like, these massive year windows where the big, hey, you know, the Big Ten has the most NFL Hall of Famers. And I'm like, yeah, Army used to be good too, man. Like, he's like, you only care about from 2000 to now. I go, yeah, because the internet matters.
Well, and because the game has changed. Like,
right. And because TV, national TV, made people realize you can go to school somewhere where it's warm.
Yeah.
And you play football there too. And so now all of a sudden, the warm schools are good.
That's why Nebraska stinks now.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go to where is that? Omaha?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. That's
Lincoln, right. Nebraska, home of the Corn Horse. I've been to Lincoln, Nebraska. Seen a game there. I saw a national champion, Nebraska, shared with Michigan, play against Baylor. They clapped when Baylor. The standing ovation when Baylor crossed the 50-yard line for the first time in the second half.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a standing ovation. Right. I was there in my Baylor shirt.
It's rough times.
Yep.
Guys, this
stuff.
This is why you can't get Crow down with the bad or mediocre Auburn football
season. No, I have seen some stuff, friends.
You've seen the bad in Baylor and the mediocre in Everton.
Mm. I gave up on Everton because I don't have to. I don't have any relationships with Everton. I was born into Baylor. I had to do that. All right. Let's talk. Speaking of mediocre and poor performances, let's go over last week's heinous results by Auburn basketball. Auburn lost at South Carolina, a place where we haven't won in forever. A place
which is ridiculous.
The last time we went there, Anthony McLemore almost died.
It's ridiculous that we haven't won there in forever because they haven't been that good.
No, they just beat us there.
There was that magic year that made the Final Four. Yeah. Other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week we lost 80-77 to South Carolina. I'm surprised Anthony McLemore didn't go off, to be honest, because that was the place where he got hurt. So you would think, okay, 1 year later, I'm back on this court. I'm feeling myself. I was really good a couple games ago. Instead, he was really, really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And he was really bad all week. And he was really bad the game before. Like, he's had three straight games where he has been really, really poor.
He just looks lost. And like we said, we thought we were thinking last week that maybe he had it figured out.
And Mac was back.
Yeah.
I tweeted Anthony Backlemore during one of the games. Not the case. He was not Backlemore.
Yeah, so this is the game where he fouled out in only 18 minutes as a starter. When you lose your starting five, you're Austin Wiley.
Yeah.
You can't then go in and foul out in 18 minutes.
Those aren't quite.
You don't have any depth there.
Quite Malik Dunbar foul numbers, but they're close.
I read a really interesting article last week, actually, this past week, about this guy makes a really good case to eliminate the foul out because he thinks the foul out is too much of a punishment for one player. And for a team, for a simple foul. And he said it really is, it puts the foul out puts a huge emphasis on officiating in a sport where the officials are horrible, college basketball. Mm-hmm. So instead, he called for eliminating the foul out, but instead after that player makes five fouls, after each foul, the opposing coach can choose who shoots the free throws.
I was going to – that's not bad.
It's not bad.
I was going to suggest that shooting fouls don't count as fouls against the person. Like if the team gets to shoot two.
Oh, okay.
Then the person that fouled doesn't get a personal foul. Yeah, doesn't get charged with the foul.
I think team's foul, it counts as a team foul, but not as a personal foul.
Then you start having people argue over, oh, that wasn't a shooting foul because they want the guy to foul out.
Yeah, but the thing is, like what he's saying is like the idea that you can then strategize to get a guy disqualified.
Yeah.
The whole point of the sport is to decide which team is better.
Right, not try to foul somebody out.
Not see which team can be have the most guys left.
It's clear that both, actually more than these two, but these two games specifically, they were attempting to
foul out Anthony McElroy.
And Horace Spencer.
Yeah, and, and they were allowing them to do it.
Yeah.
Because
now, the first half of that game, the fouls weren't, we were getting away with a little more.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
And then the second half, we didn't get away with anything.
Mississippi State game the same way. The first half of the Mississippi State
actually,
game
that's
was
the game
called,
I was thinking
yeah,
of.
It was
that's
called very much in Auburn's favor.
Yeah.
And sure. The second half, Auburn fans complained about the refs. Like the refs were, if I was a Mississippi State fan,
they were.
I'd be so mad.
So I think they were, they called the game in a way that was favorable to Auburn in the first half. In the second half, they didn't. They it was.
But we got one half.
Yeah.
We could have been down by a billion.
Yeah.
But because of the fact that we made every free throw and got all those calls.
Thank God.
So the referees in college basketball do this funny thing. Bruce Pearl talks about it. It actually has a name, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh,
it has something to do with the number. It's called some number ratio. Basically, what it comes down to is you can almost get away with murder under the basket compared to what they will call around the point line.
Yeah.
So like Jared Harper will get a foul call. The same amount of contact under the basket against Jared will not be a foul. And you saw Javon McCormick, that happened to him a number of times against State, where he was getting obliterated and no foul.
Similar
but if
thing,
the same thing happened to him at the half-court line, it's a foul every time.
Similar thing happens in soccer.
Yeah.
For anybody that watches that. Like, a thing that they might even stop play for is a foul outside the box. Sometimes isn't a foul in the box. But then sometimes... something that would be let go that happens in the box is a like penalty.
Yeah.
You're shooting. You're
well, and that's why. And this is what upsets me about that is that what that's led to in soccer are guys like Mo Salah, who's a great player, but he will act as if gravity.
Oh yeah.
He'll act as if his bones are made of lead when he gets hit in the box. In basketball, the exact same thing is going to happen if they continue to call the games this way. The only recourse is for offensive players to flail in the air like they've been shot by a sniper when someone touches them in the basket.
Yeah.
That's the only way that, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to see guys flop. And the reason guys are flopping is not because they want to be wusses. It's because the refs aren't seeing the slight contact. So they
just
exaggerate it.
I think it's the same thing. I don't even know that we meant to get off on officials here, but it's the same thing that happens in football. Is the game's just too fast for the officials. It's just too fast for them. They can't see everything. Like the foul that got called in that Mississippi State game, where none of our players were even close to the guy, and they called the foul. It's like, but then there was another play where one of our guys just got annihilated right in front of the referee, and he just didn't see it. It's not that he was like not wanting to call a foul; he just didn't see it because the game is too fast for them. They don't know what's happening, and I don't know how you solve that.
Well, I think there's two things that I would suggest. And this is not me. We didn't lose that game because of the referees.
We played really bad.
I'm not the Auburn fan who blames the refs on stuff. That's just not me. College basketball has a referee problem.
Yeah.
And I think most basketball fans think that. And one easy solution is adding another official.
Yeah,
a fourth official.
That's what I've suggested before.
Even if you just let the fourth official who's already there, who's sitting in half court – dealing with the possession arrow, if you just let that guy be able to watch the game on a TV screen and overrule the guys on the court,
that
would solve for a lot of problems.
You know, there is something, and I think there's actually a rule in football where the referees are like can't like talk to each other over any sort of devices. Like if they want to talk, they have to get close to each other. But in I know we keep bringing up soccer all the time, but in soccer, all the officials are in constant communication the entire game.
Right.
You've got linesmen on each end of the pitch, right? There's two linesmen, and then there's your referee, and then your fourth official stands at the halfway line on the side. And I think even that sort of thing, like where the officials could be in constant contact with each other, like over some sort of thing, could help out as well.
But they talk. I mean, like they huddle.
Right.
The problem is you see when they huddle, the fans get involved.
But fans have a huge effect on officials. And basketball is the worst of any sport because it's so you're so close to the officials. And the officials don't want to get yelled at any more than anybody else does.
What you see is you won't see referees call traveling and those kind of violations better for the home team. But you will see fouls.
Yeah.
Like you'll see a home team advantage in fouls.
Well, the most obvious thing that anybody can watch for is if you have at any point in a game, you get to a point where you have a severe disparity in fouls given from one team to another, you will see fouls being called on the team that has had a bunch called on them, no matter what they do almost. They have to about kill somebody. And then the other team will get called for the ticky-tackiest stuff in the world. And that doesn't seem right
either. No, it's not right.
Yeah, even isn't fair.
No, yeah, like trying to even up the fouls is stupid. You know, it's nice when you're the team that needs to have it evened up, although they tend to not call shooting fouls, so it doesn't even matter. Like the other team this happened in a game recently where the other team got to shoot a billion free throws and we didn't get to shoot any. And the fouls are not there wasn't a huge disparity.
Just shooting fouls versus not.
Yeah.
So we shot really well against State. So the first game, the South Carolina game, we did not shoot well.
Yeah, no, we shot 28% from three. That's like one of our worst games of the year.
And we turned around and shot 52 against State.
We would be remiss if we did not talk about Chris Silva.
Chris Silva destroyed us.
Speaking of fouling out, this guy should have fouled out 10 seconds into the game, but he didn't.
He plays like Horace, but better, but in the sense that he still gets a lot of fouls.
There's nothing.
No.
Like, do not. Like, I like Horace Spencer, but
no.
They both are tall.
My point is,
he's way taller.
He is all over the place. He's fouling everybody, but he can score, and they didn't call fouls on him.
Yeah.
He 32-14 with four blocks and went 11-12.
You had to think that.
Like, if Horace creates himself in a video game and maxes out of stats, this is the player that he is.
You have to think, going into that game that it didn't occur to me, and now like it seems plain as day to me, that after having only played like 4 minutes and having fouled out in two games prior to that, that the refs were going to take it a little easy on him. I mean, I would just suspect that they had a mandate to take it a little easy on him.
And then he didn't miss a shot.
Yeah.
He was 13 of 14 for
11 for 12.
11 to 12 from the field and like perfect on free throws.
Right.
I mean,
how many and runs did that guy have too? It's crazy.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And then against State, it was Jared Harper, 15 points, 7 assists. Chuma had a great game.
Oh, Chuma and Bryce played really well.
Chuma, actually, both of these games, Chuma was probably the best player on Friday.
Bryce Brown, and we're talking about this for a little bit, and then I'm really done talking about this league, because it really sucked.
Like, yeah, it did.
The defense was really bad.
The defense was killing
me. Which was Auburn's, like, calling card.
It's Bruce's calling card.
And we just looked completely lost. Both when we went to zone, it was horrible. Went to man, it was horrible. There was no fixing it at all.
Bruce
was doing the exact same thing that a coach should do. Like he was changing the defense up, change personnel up, and there was nothing working defensively. That's Ryan just coughing. Right, that's okay.
Apologies.
I'm the only professional broadcaster.
At least he turned away from the microphone.
I can go into it.
Bryce Brown has played himself into a professional contract in the United States. Bryce Brown, before the year, if you had told me, was going to go to the NBA at any level, I would have been like, oh, maybe he gets a G League look. Now, I think Bryce Brown is going to be a summer league invite, and I think Bryce Brown finds himself on an NBA roster just because he is carrying this Auburn team through these games. That Kentucky game, he carried Auburn.
Well,
In these last two games, he's carried Auburn offensively, and he plays. He's the only guy that I feel like is not clueless on the defensive end as well.
Well, he's his strength has always been his defense, especially his on-ball defending.
Yeah.
And he actually, I don't know if stats back this up, I don't feel like he's been quite as good at that this year, but he's stepped up his offensive game. He's not just shooting threes.
He hasn't had that many games where he's
driving.
Ghost.
He's driving.
Jacking up 15 threes.
Yeah. Creating his own shots. Like he's
playing complete basketball.
He's playing complete basketball.
And I think, or I hope that Chuma sees that, because Chuma has that skill set and is taller.
Yeah.
Like Chuma Okeke has the skill set to be that type of just dominant scoring machine. And I mean, he had 16 points, and he looked like a really good player against State.
He did.
Auburn needs, Damian Fishback talked about this all the time in the game. Auburn's got to have a third scorer.
Yep.
Because Jared Harper's going to have games. Like this game, he had 16, but he really didn't look like, he didn't take a field goal, I don't think.
I mean, until like 2 minutes left in the first
offense half. This is a bad example because offense was not our problem in this game.
Well, it was straight.
We scored, 87 points?
84. We shot 84? Extremely well. I shot about as well as they have all season.
Yeah.
But 19 turnovers.
Yeah.
Turnovers.
Limits your chances.
Awful.
If you've got another guy.
We scored 84 points and had 19 turnovers.
Yeah.
Good gracious.
But if Chuma had gotten to 20 points this game, you know what I mean? True. Like, if you get a 20-point score out of Chuma, or who, I don't know who else, Malik? Like,
or
like it's not going to be Malik.
Like Malik's almost fouled me out.
Yeah. Like a couple points from your fives?
Yeah. Man. I can't even talk about the fives. I'll get mad. I actually got to the point where I just like, didn't like Anthony Macklemore. All right, upcoming, we've got.
I did want to touch on one more thing before we jumped off that. Is I listened. Pretty much every game, I listen to the post game, even when we lose. And this is, I'm telling you guys, this is the most dejected I'd ever heard Bruce sound. There's been a couple other times he's been kind of dejected and he was disappointed. But like this time, it worried me a bit because Bruce sounds like he does not know how to fix this.
Right.
It reminded me of this when you were talking about how he switched everything up in the game and just
he's doing what he could, yeah.
And he basically said he's just going to have to switch up the scheme and start all over, start from scratch, which is not really where you want to be midseason. That doesn't mean things are over. That doesn't mean we're in a really bad hole. We could go on a bigger run here, we could win 10 games in a row. Who knows? But it's a work in progress, and I don't know if we're this. I should have looked ahead in the show notes. I don't know if we're going to talk about people that are hitting the panic button right now. But I mean, this is if we make the tournament this year, no matter how many games we lose, it's a huge step forward for our program.
If we make the tournament this year, it's one of the six best years in the history of the program.
Making consecutive tournaments for the first time in nearly 20 years is like a giant leap.
I know there's people are going to be like, well, that's just you guys are okay with mediocrity.
Well, no, we know a little bit more basketball than anybody that's
I know a little bit more mediocrity than those guys. Making the tournament 2 years in a row is not mediocre.
No.
If Auburn made the NIT this year,
I know.
It's a big deal.
Guys,
that's two postseason tournaments in a row.
Last year I always felt like last year we were a year ahead of schedule the whole time.
Yeah.
Flip last year and this year, and no one has any problems.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, no.
So it does, it mirrors in a way, it feels a little bit like.
We got a signee from St.
2013
John's.
And 2014. Yes.
Man.
that would be great.
Oh, yeah. Transferred from St. John's, Mustafa Heron, man alive.
Got a guy that couldn't stay out of trouble at Murray State, or no, where is he?
Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky, and he.
Let me tell you, we miss Mustafa Heron more than we thought we were going to. And I was the first one.
The easy 15?
This summer who thought, oh, we don't, you know what? We got guys. Chuma Okeke.
I just thought Chuma
Heron. We got Chuma Okeke. We got Austin Wiley coming back.
And I think we all expected D'Angelo to just start playing as soon as he was
guaranteed 15-6, which is what Mustafa was at Auburn. 15.6 rebounds, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Six, most of them was defensive rebounds. He was a defensive rebounding mastermind at the guard.
That was insane.
And to have him right now, a lot of our problems are over, man.
I mean, the guys that got all of our rebounds left.
Who's all of our rebounds?
Mustafa Heron.
That was a joke about all of our rebounds.
Yeah, all of our rebounds. That's good. Write that one down for your next stint at the Stardome in Birmingham.
We got Mizzou coming up, Chief. They're 89th in KenPom. Ryan, how is Auburn against teams that are top 100 in KenPom this year?
I don't want to hear it.
Not good, Crow.
Not good. 89th, they are slow. 317th in adjusted tempo. That is not good.
Yeah,
Well,
it's not good for us. Strange strategy that I feel like you don't see too often. Normally, if you're a slow tempo team, you probably got big guys, probably pounding in the paint.
Right.
No, this team just jacks up threes.
So they go slow and shoot threes.
Yeah. They're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country. They got their leading guard that shoots threes. He shoots 6 threes a game on average. And he's shooting 48%.
It doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you why that doesn't make any sense, right? What happens when you shoot 3 and you miss it?
Then you either have to get a rebound.
What kind of rebound?
An offensive rebound.
But it's usually long.
I don't do well with quizzes.
So a long rebound usually leads to fast breaks.
Right.
Which means if you're a slow team.
Yeah, you're screwed.
You're turning around.
We talked about this last week.
Like you're all of a sudden a fast team.
Yeah.
But that's why you want your 3-point shooting teams to be fast. But yeah, I guess if you just make them all, you don't have to worry about being a fast team.
Which every other team we've played recently is any indicator, they surely will make a lot.
And because college basketball is in a time machine, there's a 30-second shot clock, so they can waste all the time they want, I guess.
Oh man, you know, I hate going back to this, but there's that one point where we ran the shot clock all the way down and just hit a dagger three, and I said, I was in the midst of tweeting, that's the kind of three that's a dagger that, like, I thought we were going to win at that point.
Yeah.
And then they just ran back down the court and hit a quick three, and then didn't matter anymore, and I canceled my tweet out. And anyway, back to Missouri.
You know what? This is Ryan, to get back to soccer for the 90th time this podcast. We always are looking at who's the Auburn of blank.
Mm-hmm.
This past week was a very Spursy week.
Oh, probably. Man. Yeah.
Very Spursy. Yeah. Auburn is a very Tottenham Hotspurs team.
We felt like we were back in the saddle. And
then you just
lose to Clemsoning.
Clemsoning and Spursy are very similar.
Yeah.
Well, if Clemsoning's any indication, we'll be one of the best programs in the country in about 5 more years.
Oh, I can't wait.
Let's hope.
So I think Mizzou, you've got a guy. They're a guard with a higher true shooting percentage than anybody on Auburn's team. What true shooting percentage does, it basically is, it's your free throw, 3-point, and 2-point.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of weights 3-pointers more because they're worth more.
Yeah, right.
I
assume free throws are weighted
lower. A little bit less, but they're still in there. And so his TSP is 63.4. That's really high.
Good gracious.
Yeah. So he's a really good shooter.
He's the guy that's shooting 48% from three.
He's only averaging 12.6 points
because they play so slow.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. I'm curious to see.
I haven't watched him play.
If you've got a guy who shoots that way, why
maybe
shoot him as much as you can?
But maybe he's just good at picking his shots.
Yeah. I'd be like, jack that bad boy up. If you're shooting 63%.
I feel like Jared Harper is pretty good at choosing his shots.
If they're from the logo, they're going in.
Yeah.
He's actually, I think at this point, he's shooting. I think he actually has a higher percentage the further out he is from the basket.
Probably.
And then we play Alabama, the Crimson Tide, 12-7 Crimson Tide.
Well,
49th in KenPom with a win over Kentucky. What's Auburn KenPom?
16.
Okay.
We went up.
This is like
we went up after losing to Mississippi State.
It's almost mirroring the football team that was just couldn't get the results on the field, but somehow advanced to at-state. Like, yeah, top 20, whatever.
We did follow the top 25 in the AP, the human voters.
Dante Hall.
There's nobody I hate more than that guy.
Yeah, and I think he might have been there for like 16 years.
I'm pretty sure he was there when we were in school.
Dante Hall, or at least the guy who looked and played exactly like him, was there.
It's kind of hunched over.
They got a guy.
Looks awkward running. I can't stand him.
But he's their PER leader.
Not surprising. He's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically averaging very close to a double-double a game.
That'll happen in your 16th year in the league.
Yeah. But Ryan has on our show notes that they're a very average statistical team.
Yeah, normally I like pulling, like, oh, they're really good in this stat, or they're, like, 300th in this stat.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama's like hundreds in every stat.
Yeah.
Just kind of in the middle. And I haven't watched the play much. So.
Very Avery Johnson.
Very Avery Johnson.
You know what they're probably going to do?
Blow a huge lead.
There you go.
What they're probably going to do is
lose in the first round of the
be playoffs. More talented than most teams and underperform. That's
yeah.
That's an Avery Johnson team to a T. And also an Alabama basketball team to a T. They had the freaking top 10 draft pick last year at guard and didn't make it out of the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's a joke.
He also got raked.
By Pat Kine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raked.
Oh, that's what I said. Raked. I said it with a K. Everyone thought that someone said face
raked.
Yes.
Face raked.
Yes, that's what the guy said. I'm fairly certain. Although
I forget what game that was.
I don't know. It was one of the games.
It was an Auburn game a couple weeks ago.
But everyone on Twitter freaked out thinking he said the other
face raked.
Yeah. They were like, did he just say that?
That's got to be a foul. That's got to be a flagrant,
well,
too.
Yeah.
No, but he didn't mean to spike it.
All right, let's go to Chips. Let's go take a quick commercial break. Jack, pay some bills.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.
All right, we're back. That was a wonderful message from the good folks over at Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. We talk about it all the time. That's the best chicken tenders in Alabama.
The big ones.
And they're huge.
Hefty.
Chicken forearms.
Chicken forearms. They say another ad. They don't sponsor us, but I just got a shout out. Calidad, which is quality in Spanish. Tortilla chips. Oh. You can get them at Kroger for like a dollar. But they are the best tortilla chips on earth. We go through about a bag a week. They don't sponsor me, but if you want to sponsor me, Calidad, I need it because I'm losing all my money on tortilla chips.
Big fan of their restaurant style. Sam's Choice.
That's a good one. Sam. Oh, Sam.
Sam's Choice. So, Champs and Chumps?
Champs and Chumps. Champs of the week.
Do we dare talk about a certain team on campus that's playing well right now?
Well,
no.
I don't.
No.
I won't talk about them.
There is a team that plays in Auburn Arena. They have done some good things. They have done some good things. They've beaten some top 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to leave it at that. Props to them. Keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Keep on keeping on.
I am doing cartwheels. I'm so excited. That's your hint. I'm flipping out. All right, so they are, and they're 4-0.
Yeah.
Anybody with a
waiting to see what happens.
You know,
the rest of the season.
Their meats are not free. That's how many people are
$1
going to their meats so much that they have to charge admission.
Unless that you're shorter than their coach.
That's right.
That used to be a promotion. It still is.
I believe it is.
Is he not very tall? Or is she not very tall?
He. Jeff Graba.
Okay, I don't know anything about this
team.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
This is a soccer podcast, so I don't really know. Yeah, so we got anybody with the Patrick Nix vintage Auburn number 10 jersey.
So we found out the early enrollees what their numbers were going to be.
Yeah, those Patrick Nix.
Bo Nix is wearing his dad's number.
Yeah.
So Bo Nix is wearing that.
So if you have
Reagan
old
Popo is
you got an old 10,
that.
You're
Popo?
Popo.
I don't know.
You know what
I asked Nerdy about.
Devin Barrett also wears 10. So
I know.
What's going to happen
not
to
anymore.
Devin Barrett?
Apparently not anymore.
Okay.
Cornerback Devin Barrett now.
Man, I missed Devin Barrett playing running back.
Another 4-star running back.
We might could have used Devin Barrett at running back. Maybe that's where they all went.
Possibly.
We moved him to corner.
We moved
last
him
year.
To corner or safety or whatever.
Yeah, so you've still got your number 10
I still got some champs.
Jersey.
Yeah.
Your luck.
Still got some champs.
Oh, sorry.
Jonathan Wallace.
Okay.
Former Auburn quarterback.
Former Auburn quarterback and great. The one guy that everyone said didn't give up.
Him
and Trey Mason.
People didn't give up on that. For
so
all.
Stupid.
No one gave up. They all wanted to go pro. You don't give up. That's on tape.
He was named the offensive coordinator for the Bethel.
Yeah. Bethel University.
University, where Brett Dierman had been the head coach and is now...
He's an offensive assistant with Houston, I believe?
Yes. maybe. Yeah. Some one of those teams. But anyways, he's moved up into the offense coordinator position. I am guessing their offense coordinator is now their head coach.
Yes, that's the case.
And so Jonathan Wallace is now OC and waiting at Auburn.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's that Gus Malzahn
country degree. That's a big...
Did you know that Bethel is a Hebrew word that means city of God?
Yeah, did. Actually.
There's your Hebrew lesson of the week.
The other one is, I watched the Royal Rumble last night, and...
And there goes Lydia.
Talking wrestling. And, I wish that anytime anybody brings up wrestling, Jack, we just put like some glass breaking...
Or just have JR and the King. Oh my God!
The Undertaker bells.
Yeah, just start playing American Badass by Kid Rock. Becky Lynch won the Women's Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant.
Nice.
Last night. So
I didn't watch it because I haven't watched wrestling since Stone Cold retired.
Yeah, I haven't. I just found myself watching it just on a whim last night. And it was pretty good.
If you want to make Son of Crow 316 shirts and sell them, I'd be happy to do it.
But anyway, those were my champs of the week.
I know Josh Dell would wear a Son of Crow 316.
I'm sure he would.
All right, chumps of the week.
Let me read this one because I don't really know what it means.
Oh, I can read it.
So it's a soccer thing.
Yeah.
I think it's better.
It's from James Jones.
So in our group chat, James said his chump of the week was me and Chief for believing Everton wouldn't get screwed being in one FA Cup match without VAR.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
VAR is video assist referee. It's instant replay.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual reality, like they got like the iPhone on their face.
Right, I wish. Right, no. And for some reason, the FA, the Football Association in England, isn't putting instant replay in all of the games.
All the FA Cup.
So is this like
the FA Cup?
It's like us complaining about pylon cams only being in the good games.
Yes, right. It's the FA Cup is a tournament
of all the teams from the 10th division of pro football to the first. And 10th isn't even pro. So it's like a bunch of like.
Bethel gets to play Alabama.
Yes.
More or less. And
if they win enough games, they could play Alabama.
So Everton were playing a team that is 19th in the second
Millwall.
Division. 19th. They are known for being hooligans.
They're 19th in League Two. So that would be like playing. Like Auburn was playing the last place team in the Sun Belt.
So Everton took the lead 2-1 against this team, and then less than a minute later. They earned a free kick outside our box and scored from a blatant handball. Like, dude whacked it in with his arm.
Appreciate it.
Dude whacked the ball in with his arm. Like
which
almost
the rules.
Almost hand of God style, which is a famous handball. Maradona, right?
Maradona.
For whatever reason, this game did not have video assistant referee in it.
They couldn't instant replay it.
They don't do that in the league games, but the FA Cup said, oh, we're going to have it in FA Cup games. But
except for this one.
Only going to have it in a few of them. And definitely not the one Everton's playing in. So then,
could you imagine in the United States, who has the U.S. has a very high get it right, use technology,
right.
blah, 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 blah.
Saying, no, we don't want it. We don't want VAR.
People would be burning cars.
I mean, even baseball has video review at this point. No, I mean, I like baseball guys, but it took too long. But anyway, so then they went on to lose the game because they gave away another free kick right outside the box. And
I don't want to miss this joke. When baseball goes away, and when I write my book about baseball, it'll be titled Baseball : It Took Too Long.
Then they scored again, and Everton lost 3-2 and are out of the FA Cup. And essentially season over.
So that was their only chance to win any sort of trophy this year.
The only thing left to play for is to try to finish in seventh maybe and make Europe next year.
Ryan, Everton's the most seventh-place team in the world.
They are, actually.
They're actually sixth place in terms of revenue, yet nowhere near
sixth in terms of quality.
Did they give their coach a $50 million buyout?
They're actually the third most successful team in England. Like, they've won the third most amount of trophies, but they haven't won any trophy, let alone a league, in 24 years this year.
Just like the English.
Texas football. The University of Texas football has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl next week than Everton.
Actually, Everton last won their when's your birthday?
1995.
Yeah.
What?
March 18th.
Okay, so you were actually born the last time they won a trophy, but barely.
Yeah, so Everton. I no longer am an Everton fan because they do nothing but rob my soul.
You heard it here first. He tells you his Venmo every episode. Crow is for sale.
Crow for sale to Manchester City. anyone who tweeted Fire Pearl is chump of the week. Yes. Chump of the week is anybody who acts like, A, we shoot too many threes. No, we don't. B, we need to fire Bruce Pearl. No, we don't. No. Let me tell you what happens if we fire Bruce Pearl. We become a terrible basketball program again.
We'd become Auburn again.
Yeah, and we'll never, never return.
No, never. No one's going to come here. They fired the one guy who got any relevance. Yeah, he won't come here.
No, he wouldn't.
We'd have to hire Frankie Sullivan back. We wouldn't be able
to bankroll his recruiting efforts. But anyway.
Yeah, well. So Bruce Pearl, we are not going to fire him. Bruce Pearl's a lifetime contract, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he should. I don't care if he kills, man.
Yeah, lifetime contract, as far as I'm concerned.
Put his name on the arena.
Let him coach from video in prison.
Yeah.
He's still our coach.
Number three.
Chuck Person's there, too.
If you say, the people who watch the games and think that Auburn is doing being out-coached.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you nobody is out-coaching Bruce Pearl.
No.
Look at that man. He is drenched in sweat by the end of the game. He's trying his absolute hardest. Sometimes you just don't have what it takes that game.
Yep.
This is not a team of five-star recruits. Not Kentucky. We're not trotting out North Carolina's roster
and guys,
or Duke's roster.
If you look at what we're bringing in probably the best class we've ever had.
This upcoming team is going to be fours and fives.
But it's still not like we're not bringing in.
No, it's not a bunch of one and duns.
Yeah, we're not bringing in big dudes. We're bringing in guys that probably think they're going to be one and duns, but probably are almost definitely not one and
duns. And then they transferred
Mustafa Heron thought that he was going
to
be a one and done.
Yeah.
For sure he did.
Austin, the only one and done that we've had is probably Austin Wiley, and he's not a one and done. Because
his career has probably been taken by the NCAA.
Yeah.
And injuries.
Yeah.
But, like, you got guys pretending like they know about basketball because they watched us lose to Clemson in the tournament last year, and that was probably their first game they watched all for basketball. Or basketball, period. Mm-hmm. They probably watch the NCAA tournament every March.
Hey, they have a LeBron jersey.
No, they do. No, they do not have a LeBron. They haven't watched. These guys.
They wear it to the basketball game.
Those guys aren't tweeting Fire Pearl. The guys tweeting Fire Pearl don't watch the NBA.
Yeah, those guys don't think that's real basketball. Crushing Natty Light in the parking lot after.
The guys
they don't care.
They don't watch the NBA. You'll hear guys say, "I don't like nobody plays any defense in the NBA." It's those guys who are tweeting Fire Pearl. Nobody plays defense in the NBA.
That might be true on a Wednesday night in the NBA, but.
Or any Rockets game.
No, because you know
any Rockets
game. You know what happens when you don't play defense in the NBA?
You lose
your job.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what happens when you don't play defense in the NBA.
That's true.
Those guys are trying their best. It just so happens that James Harden can bust their face for 61 points whenever he wants to.
And then not play defense.
And when he doesn't play much. But he doesn't have to because he's scoring 61 on the other end.
He takes too many threes.
Yeah. So what if your guy gives it a 30? You're still a 30 in the good.
Yeah. James Harden's you talk about without Chris Paul, he had 130 straight unassisted points. That is bonkers. Hmm. Nobody passing to him. He's just going out and scoring every single time.
Hmm.
All right.
Yeah. The anybody that thinks that this is just such an awful year and such a big disappointment, I pointed out after the game. I don't usually do a ton of sunshine pumping, but
don't stop me now.
Some
sunshine.
The team in 1998-99 unexpectedly won the SEC, only lost four games in the regular season. Went to the Sweet 16, was a one seed in the tournament. They returned almost every single player. They returned every starter from that team. And they did end up losing Chris Porter for a portion of the season, which is no different than us losing Austin Wiley for a portion of the season, although Chris Porter did score more points. That's true. But we still did lose an important piece of this team and have lost three straight games. That team lost eight games in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of squeaked in the tournament as a 7 seed. That's respectable. But lost in the second round. That team was far more disappointing because they were chosen to win they were chosen to be champions before the year. Take that for what it's worth. People thought that that Auburn team was the best team in the country.
Sports Illustrated said they were going to win the national championship.
Yeah, Chris Porter was on the cover. And they just didn't. It wasn't even close. The season, think what you will, the season itself, even when they were winning, they did not look like the same team, despite being the same team. So let's temper our, not expectations, but our, what we think is a huge disappointment. That was a huge disappointment. Making the tournament for a second consecutive year, as we said earlier, is all that we should really ask of this team.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted them, and I think we all predicted on this, I think none of us had them losing more than four games.
No.
When we started out.
I picked Auburn to go undefeated in football in the preseason as well, by the way.
Well, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I did.
But we'll talk about that next week, I think.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll anyway. For a look. Chief, go ahead and finish.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay, guys.
Relax.
We've had bigger disappointments. This team was...
Yeah, the football team lost to Tennessee this year. Just don't forget about that.
Coming into this season, this was absolutely not the most talented team. Everybody can complain about how our guys didn't make first team all SEC last year and all that stuff, but this team was not the most talented team in the conference coming into this year. It's the third or fourth most talented team coming into the conference. And yeah, our guys are experienced, but this was not the team that could just roll out and just beat everybody.
Right.
They needed to have the same chemistry they did last year, which they do not. And we've lost guys that I think almost everyone around the program kind of discounted as not having and not being that big of a loss, which we also talked about earlier. So it's going to be okay, guys. Basketball's going to be fine.
Trust Jared. Yeah. I trust Jared Harper. Yeah.
He's not going to have six turnovers in every game.
I trust him. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Hang on.
We do hope you listen again next week.
I had homework for the listeners kind of because I'm lazy. If you can find our time capsule episode, let me know what episode that was because I was trying to find it and I can't.
Well, wait, which one is the time capsule
episode? I thought it was the week before the Washington game for the football team.
It was the one we recorded at...
It should have been in August.
At your office.
Really?
Yes.
With a lightning storm in the background. Right.
It's your old office.
At the old office. Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to go through and find it.
Were we going through the SEC West?
No. We just went through.
No, my father-in-law was here.
Okay.
We just went through and talked about everybody. I thought it was the week before the Washington game, too, but I guess maybe.
If you can find our time capsule predictions,
the Chief
you get
on
to prove us wrong.
Yeah, I was on it.
You get to prove us wrong, so.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. You might be able to catch me being wrong. Like I always say,
oh, no.
I'm never wrong.
Is it really football without a tailgate party? I don't think so. Hi, I'm Scott Armstrong of Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Let us do the cooking for your game day get-together. Delicious Champs Chicken is always a crowd pleaser. And with Beeline Foods' great selection of tasty snacks and ice-cold drinks, including our awesome craft beer selection, we're your one-stop tailgating shop. Champs Chicken and Beeline Foods. Fuel up, eat, drink, and think like a champ. Opelika Road, next to Auburn Furniture.